You're listening to a podcast from Trinity Church Buxton. For more information, please visit our website at trinitybuxton.org.uk.
These good people before?
Oh, my mum.
We won't ask who's known them the longest. Good. And those of you, this is the first time, this will be a treat for you. Well, thank you very much for coming. And it's great to have you with us. We know that you've travelled an awful long way to be with us, so we're just going to ask you a few questions to put into context what you do and where you are and so on. And my first question to Jason and Tracy, because you don't do missionary work like some people wish every missionary does missionary work. So going out into somewhere, getting out a soapbox on the street corner, preaching the gospel and seeing people saved like the Apostle Peter did. So what do you do? How long have you been doing
it? Okay, so I haven't been overseas 15 years now. Last seven would have been in Thailand. For me, we're based up in the north of Thailand, working with OMF, Overseas Mission Fellowship. And up there's a big support office that we're actually I work at, with a team of people supporting OMF missionaries, mission partners who are working in various East Asian countries. So China, Burma, Laos, and we have about 450 adult mission partners there. With the children, it's about 800. So it's a big organization. So my role is to oversee the personnel and provide admin support. Over the last 12 months, my role has changed a little bit because of issues that we face within China. So we've had a lot of problems in China with the security crackdown, which has meant a number of mission partners had to leave China at very, very short notice. So my role has been involved in debriefing people who have suddenly, within 48 hours notice, find themselves out of the country. We've also been involved in putting policies in place to try and help people to stay in China. Also trying to find housing for people who are suddenly now having to relocate to Thailand, visas and things like that. So it's been quite a difficult time, but that is pretty much how my role has looked, I would say, over the last 12 months.
Okay, that's really helpful. Tracy, what is a sort of an ordinary day in Chiang Mai? What's that like for you?
It isn't actually much of an ordinary day for me, actually. It's a bit varied. I don't have a full-time role like Jason does. Housewife and a mom, so that keeps me busy enough. But I lead Sunday school, a safeguarding officer for OMF, and lead a prayer meeting at school, and I also help at a Centre for Traffic Boys. Just one day a week, just giving health advice or helping out with anything they need. So each day is different, and then I'm just around to help people who need it.
Okay, that's great. Now, first question for Rudy and Libby. Have you always lived overseas with mum and dad, or have you lived permanently in the UK?
We've mostly lived overseas, but we've had 1 year where we've lived here in England.
Okay.
But other than that, it's just been homies and holidays.
Okay. And my next question is, what do you miss most about England when you're in Thailand? And what do you miss most about Thailand when you're back in England?
When in Thailand, I miss snow.
Okay, so you miss your family and friends, obviously, yeah. Do you miss things about Thailand when you're home on home leave?
School.
Okay.
And my friends.
Okay. Yeah. So do you like school? Is school good? You go to an international school, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay. And what sort of do you get a really interesting mixture of friends and so how many different countries are represented in your class? Pick a few countries.
Thai, Chinese, Japanese, Korean, Canadian, Dutch, Dutch, American, Oman, Indian, Australian.
Wow. Okay. So the world comes to your school.
Yeah,
okay. And that's good, is it? Does that give you some really interesting friends? And...
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. Thank you for that. Tracy, I was going to ask you, you told us a bit about what you do. Is your role fulfilling and are you happy with what you're doing? Are there things you wish you did that you don't do?
I miss nursing sometimes. I've trained as a nurse before, so I do miss that sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah, I really enjoy that. And I think I miss working as a team.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do that quite a lot, whereas I'm on my own a lot more now.
Okay. And your prayer walking that you did, that you told us about last time, where mm-hmm. you used to go to the red light district, mm-hmm. I wondered, that's finished now, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, actually, it has finished. I was prayer walking with all went back to America, but in the last few weeks before I came here, some other ladies joined and said they would like to start prayer walking, so we did about 3 or 4 trips together.
Yeah.
And we're looking forward to starting to, again when I go back.
Okay.
So I feel really excited about that.
Yes, excited and apprehensive, because you found that a difficult thing, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, it was a little bit, but these two girls, they're younger than me, and they're keen to learn Thai, and I've actually decided that if I keep telling people I'm going to learn Thai, so everywhere I go, I keep telling people I'm going to learn Thai, because I think if I tell enough people, I'll do it. The pressure's on, so I'm putting myself under pressure, so forcing myself to do it. And these two girls also do it. They're a lot better than me. One of them, funnily enough, one of them, her mom, is in my Sunday school group. She's one of them, I teach in my group, so that's a nice one too.
Okay.
And she's a good Thai speaker.
Okay. That leads nicely into the both of you. Just you now worship, you now go to church at a different church in Chiang Mai, don't you, since last we saw you?
Yes.
And you got involved in helping in leadership and that kind of thing. Is that going well?
Yeah, so we've been in Thai, we first got there, we had the first 3 years in Thai Chip because we felt, well, the rest of our roles are very much in the English speaking setting, so we needed to have some Thai exposure. So we went to Thai Church, but we got to the point because we had 3 years there, we also had like 8 years in Nepal in local church, and we felt, particularly for the girls, that it would be good for them to engage with proper Sunday school with English and the youth group and things like that. So we made the move to International Church, and that's gone well. It's been good. So I'm involved in the leadership team of the International Church. Now it's a team of about 7 of us now. But it's an interesting, we have a lot of change. It's very, the pastor described it as pastoring a parade. Mm-hmm. It's a description because it's just this constant flow of people coming and going, which brings great diversity as well, but also brings challenges.
Okay. Right. And so, just before we break to have some food, and before Tracy does something that I don't know what she's going to do, I wanted to ask each of you, what's the best thing about being working in Thailand, living in Thailand, and what's the worst thing? Have you thought about that? I think I mentioned that I was going to ask you that.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Is the worst thing easy?
The heat.
Yeah. Okay.
Worst thing.
Heat and humidity, I'm guessing.
Yeah, best thing is the people. Yeah, that's it, probably.
Okay, so you're echoing your comment about missing family. We need to pray for you, and we need to pray for your family, because that's a big sacrifice that you make. Okay. And the best thing?
I enjoy the multicultural mix and the people, it's great.
Yeah, okay. And you both like sport, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay, what's your favourite sport?
Running.
Okay, good. All right. Well, that's great. Good to get to know you a little bit. Tracy, what do you want to do?
We just wanted to very much take the opportunity to say thank you to all of you for your support, for your prayers and your care. We really do appreciate it. We couldn't be in Thailand if it wasn't for people like you backing us up and knowing that you're there. So we've got a card. We've got a gift, which is from Thailand, Chiang Mai's answer.
Great.
Great.
God is good. Yeah.
So, we shall find a place to do whatever you do with bunting. We will bunt somewhere. Okay, so just take your seats and we'll give thanks. We'll have some food and then we'll hear a little bit more from you in a moment. I work in the forest station. Hand over to you.
So just at the bottom of the slide there, there's that extra part on there, which is that it's a vision of OMM. To share the good news of Jesus Christ in all its fullness with East Asia's peoples to the glory of God. And as we think about mission partners and partnership, you know, our role is very much, both of us, is in supporting other mission partners to be out there, to come to the field and to stay and to continue on there. So it's very much it's our personal vision, but it's also the vision of our work. Now, just for that, I'm going to share where we're actually based. So we're actually about something like 500 miles from Bangkok. So it's quite a way up to the north. Now, I like this photograph. I searched online to find this, something a bit different on the PowerPoint presentation. And I found this sushi burger. Now, I don't know if it's actually had a sushi burger. I've never had a sushi burger. But I just thought it's a great example of the classic East meets West food fusion. Right? I've been thinking a lot about globalization at the moment. And when we've been in Thailand, what I've seen, I've noticed over the last few years, is all these new different kind of brands that are suddenly appearing in Thailand I've never heard of before. And I just automatically assume that these are Asian brands. So obviously, you don't get them in the UK or in Europe or things like that. Until I come back to the UK, and I see all the same names across the UK, all the same brands. And just thinking about globalization, thinking about the world becoming more international. You know, we went to Thailand originally thinking that we were going to be working with Thais primarily, but the reality over the years we've been there is that our roles and the school and where we live and everything has become much more international. I've been working with and living beside many, many different nationalities. So at the moment, we're finding lots of Chinese people now entering Thailand. So currently the figures are about 40 million people, Chinese people, are now living in Thailand, which brings great opportunities, which is from an otherwise very closed country. But the need for the gospel in Asia as a whole is huge. Found these stats recently, and it shows the number of non-believers in different areas of the world who at least know a Christian. So if you look at the figures here, if you look at Europe, for example, it says, you know, 8 out of 10 non-believers will at least have some connection with a Christian in their normal daily life. Drops down to Africa, is 3 out of 10. Then we look at Asia, it's only 1 in 10 of non-Christians actually connection with a Christian in their normal lives. That works out about 667 million people across Asia who will not have a chance really to hear the gospel. So it's a huge, huge need. Things are changing, we're becoming more international. Where we live, we're in a row of 4 houses. Originally when we moved there, there was us, there was a New Zealand lady, there was a German gentleman and a Thai family. In the last 2 years, we moved from that to us and 3 Chinese families, all in the row. It's just that things are just changing so much. So one of the Chinese families we've got to know a little bit more, so Tracy's just going to tell you a little bit more about that.
So we very much believe that God wanted us to reach out to our Chinese neighbours. I'm just going to move this up. So we decided that we would invite our Chinese neighbours for dinner. And which was a bit of a step of faith for all of us, because for those of you who know me well know I'm not the world's best cook. Once you've been to our house 3 times, you've kind of done my repertoire in it. So we decided, yes, we'd have a moment. And it was near Easter time, and we had, a week before, made these resurrection rolls. Has anybody ever heard of them or made them? Yeah, you've done them. Nice, aren't they? They taste like apple pie without the apple. And they are, so the idea is they're great, they're easy to make, and they're a great outreach to do with kids or adults or anybody really.
So you have white marshmallows, and they are to represent the sinlessness and perfection of Christ. And then you talk about how he came to die for us on the cross, to bear and took our sins on him. And then you dip it in the melted butter and the cinnamon and sugar. And you talk about how his body, after he died on the cross, his body was prepared in spices for burial. And then you wrap it in pastry and talk about how Jesus' body was wrapped in cloth before he was placed in the tomb. And then you put it in the oven, bake it in the oven, and talk about Jesus' body being put in the tomb. And then the heat melts the sugar. You shouldn't, you know, Peter, melts the sugar. And then when you break it open, it's empty because all the sugar's dissolved. So then you talk about the empty tomb and Jesus rising from the dead. So it's a great gospel presentation, and it works well. So I invited them round, and all was going swimmingly well. They were rolling away with our rolling pins, with our pastry. They really liked it, because don't forget, the Chinese, they fry everything, don't they? They don't have ovens, so for them, doing any baking was great. And it was really fun, and we were all having a good time, lots of photos. So great to know. And we got to the bit where we wrapped it in pastry and we brought them all into the kitchen. Jason and I said, and then Jesus' body was placed into the tomb. And our Chinese neighbour said, and then we burned him. And we just thought, no, that wasn't really quite what we meant. And it was a little bit difficult then. But we managed to resurrect the situation and kind of explain the gospel in a funny kind of way. But it was a cross-cultural, sharing the gospel in a cross-cultural way sounds quite a good idea when you're in the UK, but when you actually get there and start doing it, you realise that it's not quite as easy as you first thought. But it was a small seed that was shared, and it's been a small step for us to, as we've grown in friendship with our neighbours. And the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, says, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil, and he goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and it grows.
So thinking again about globalisation, I think in some ways globalisation, the fact that we often look very similar. You okay, Peter?
Thank you.
So I think globalisation sometimes lulls us into a bit of a false sense of security in the fact that when we see people from different cultures with different worldviews, different beliefs, we often don't really see those differences, because often what we look at, I know I do, I look at the similarities, you're the same, they wear the same clothes, they're driving the same cars, go to the same places. And as we certainly find that with our Chinese neighbours, you don't always spot those beliefs that are there at the very core. But to understand those, it's crucial that we actually understand the core beliefs and the worldviews of people that we're relating to and connecting to. So we become more and more aware of these differences as we've got to know these Chinese families. So what I wanted to do is to look at some of these differences, particularly some of the differences in Chinese beliefs. So the girls are going to help just to share some of these differences in Chinese beliefs.
Buying second-hand furniture will bring the previous owner's misfortune on you.
The number 8 and 6 are believed to be lucky numbers, but 4 is considered unlucky, so many buildings do not number the fourth floor.
An old Chinese belief was that if you point at the moon with your finger, it will make the tips of your ears fall off.
In Thailand, too, there are many strange beliefs, such as wearing different colors on each day of the week. You can see this from the display over there.
So beliefs from other countries can sound strange, can sound a bit funny to us when we hear them. But I think when you also look at the UK, I think we also have our share of strange beliefs.
Never bring peacock feathers indoors.
And never open your umbrella indoors either. If you spill if you spill salt, you must throw some over your shoulder to stop the bad luck. Wearing lucky underpants to a football match will help your team win.
Do you know, they sound funny, don't they? This morning, we were at a church, I'm not going to say where, and the vicar, after we'd done this, the vicar stood up and said, I don't actually have lucky underpants, but I do have a lucky t-shirt that I take to football matches. Apparently, he and his sons had counted the matches that he'd taken them to, and they discovered that the matches he'd taken to, his team had lost. So, there you go, well, look. So, what does God say about beliefs? God actually says quite a lot about beliefs, and they're important, aren't they? If you think about all of us, we all believe something. Beliefs are what makes us who we are. It makes us act the way that we do, and it makes us say the things we say. It's the essence of ourselves, what we believe. And while we've been in Thailand, I've been doing a course by Beth Moore called Believing God, and I've learnt five statements of faith about beliefs that I thought I'd share tonight. So the first statement is, I believe God is who he says he is. But let's have a think, who does God say he is?
Father.
I am. Who else?
Creator.
Everlasting. All-knowing.
Holy.
Faithful.
Provider.
Yeah. Yeah. If we don't believe that God is the omnipotent maker of heaven and earth, the one who sees, the one who knows, the compassionate Father, the one who acts on behalf of his children, the way, the truth, and the life, and that God came to earth as Christ, as Jesus Christ, to live and die for our sins, to raise from the dead and save us, then we cannot believe any of the other following statements, and our faith is groundless. But the more we get to know God, the more we believe him, and the more we believe him, the more we'll get to know him. It's like a nice circle, a nice cycle. Let's have a look at statement two. I believe God can do what he says he can do. What does God say he can do?
Save us.
Forgive us. What else?
Anything.
Yeah, God says he can do anything. Yeah, what else? Yeah. Anything and everything. Yeah, what else?
Creator.
God says he can do all sorts of things, doesn't he? So many things. He's a saviour, a healer, a deliverer. And I found one of the things that hit home for me was God as a healer. And often people think of that as one of the main things. And I was certain that God was going to heal me of migraines. Now, I've been a migraine sufferer for quite some time now, and was admitted to hospital while I was in Thailand, because I was quite seriously ill with them. And I reached a point, as I was doing the study, that I was convinced that God was going to heal me from migraine. So I stopped taking all my medication and announced to Jason, this is it, I'm healed, and stepped forward in faith, that's it. So I lasted a few weeks, did okay, it's all right. And then the pain came back again, and I actually ended up being more of a nightmare to live with than I normally am, and it was just awful. Pain was terrible. So I went back, I had to go back to the doctors again, actually, I couldn't stand it any longer. And I was back on tablets again, back onto where I was before. So that gave me a lot of questions. Does that mean God can't do what he says he can do? No. Does it mean God can't heal? No. It doesn't. Does it mean God doesn't love me? No, it doesn't. God answers our prayers in three ways, doesn't he? He says yes, no, or maybe, or wait, just wait. I don't know for the answer to mine whether it's a no or just wait. But I do know if God answered all my prayers with a yes, I'd be like Bruce Almighty. Remember that? Many parts of soup? I'd just be like crazy. And God would be Father Christmas or the genie in the lamp. But he wouldn't be anything else, would he? If you just said yes, 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 yes to everything. I mean, we know as parents, we just don't do that, do we? Our kids. I don't know why God didn't choose to heal me there and then of migraines, but I do know that God is a loving, compassionate, faithful God, and that his plans are always, always good. And I do know that I can always trust him. And I do know that often we find the answer to these things with hindsight, don't we? So let's look at statement three. I believe I am who God says I am. Who does God say we are?
His child.
His child. Who else?
Forgiven.
Forgiven.
Redeemed.
Redeemed.
Heirs to the throne.
Heirs to the throne. Yeah, God actually says a lot. For sure, I know I'm a sinner saved by grace. Absolutely, we all are. When we come to Christ, we're sinners saved by grace. But I read my Bible and I find, I read, I'm also a saint. Can you imagine that? Saint Tracy. Do you know, you laugh, I laugh. I know Jason, Ruby and Livia can hardly control themselves because they live with me. It sounds funny, doesn't it? But when we've accepted Christ as our Saviour, we all are. But just that, just turn to the person next to you and say, hello, Saint whoever, I'm Saint whoever. Just try it now. Just say it. So every morning, you say to yourself, good morning, say to whoever were to look in the mirror. And just say it to your name. Just remind yourself that's who the Bible says you are. You are who God says you are, not who the devil tries to tell you are or who somebody else tells you you are. You are who God says you are. So, statement four. I believe I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Now, if you're not careful, you can read this verse and think, oh, great, that means I'm going to be Superwoman or MasterChef or I'm going to be something amazing. But actually, when we read it in context of what Paul means, Paul says, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength, whether I have plenty or whether I'm in want. So I know as I read that verse that whether I'm sick with a migraine or whether I'm living in Thailand, whether I'm in the UK, whether I've got plenty, whether I've got one, whatever situation, I know I can do all things with Christ who gives me the strength. And that's the hope and certainty and surety that all of us have when we trust in Christ. And let's have a look at number five. I believe God's word is alive and active in me. Hebrews 4, verse 12 in the Amplified Bible tells us that the word of God is living and active and full of power, making it operative, energizing and effective. God's word is really powerful. I've had the privilege of being able to pray with two moms, one on a Tuesday and one on a Friday. And we just meet together to pray for our kids and pray for our husbands. And we find scriptures to pray over the situations that we have in our family. And I know it blesses God and it pleases him when we pray his scripture back to him. And it's a great way to pray truth into often what's challenging situations. Who isn't in a challenging situation if you're married or your parents? I think we all are, aren't we? We all are. Everyone knows it's not easy. So it's good to do that. So we want to go and read these statements together. And at the end of them, we're going to say, I'm believing God. Okay? So, I believe God is who he says he is.
I believe God can do what he says he can do. I believe I am who God says I am. I believe I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I believe God's word is alive and active in me. I'm believing God.
So, living these statements out has been really, I have found them really helpful. Not every day is peach, some days are a bit rubbish, actually, to be truthful, but they're helpful when I remind myself of them and when I actively live them out. And recently I heard someone say, it's not about what is God's plan for my life, it's about where do I fit in God's plan to build his kingdom. And as we think about living out those statements of faith actively and being witnesses either to your neighbours as we are, to your family, to the person down the road, to whoever you're witnessing to, it's all about building God's kingdom, sowing seeds of the gospel and working for Jesus.
Thank you. Very much indeed. Good evening, everybody. I think it was 3 Sundays ago that John Martin was here preaching for us. Now, unfortunately, I missed it, but I've been told great things about it. John is somebody I've known for quite a long while. John was talking about partnership in the gospel and the Apostle Paul and the way that works out with Philemon in the New Testament. This morning in church, we have a verse of the week from Philippians, which is a very great verse. And if you've got your Bibles, I'd like you please to turn to it. So it's page 1181. You may remember, if you were in church this morning, that it's a verse with a promise. Philippians 4 and verses 6 and 7 speak about what to do instead of being anxious. And Paul writes, in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, and that was our big theme in church this morning, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And Paul knew what he was talking about. Because Paul was a mission partner himself. He travelled to different places around the Greco-Roman world, proclaiming the gospel, and his partner church was the Philippian church. If you turn the page back to chapter 1 in Philippians, and have a look with me at verse 3, Paul says of his friends at Philippi, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Because over all those years, this church that Paul himself had established have been his partners in the gospel. And partnership crops up 6 times in the letter to the Philippians, and it involves all different kinds of things. It involves believing the same truths. It involves contending for the same gospel. It involves suffering for the same cause. It involves giving to one another. It involves praying to one another. In fact, it's a bit like a multi-stranded rope. Now, Anne and I were beginning to get ready for our holidays yesterday, and we were turning out all of our camping gear and our climbing gear. And here is my climbing rope. And when you go climbing in the Alps, the way you do it is you rope up together for security, maybe just 2 or 3 people. And the idea is that the rope gives each one the ability to help the other. And partnership in Philippians is like a multi-stranded rope. Now, this is a modern climbing rope. It's got lots of strands. It's very, very strong. And partnership is meant to be like that.
So we give, we believe, we contend, we suffer, and we pray. And prayer is a vital strand in that rope. But the interesting thing is that a bit like two people climbing together, joined by a rope, partnership is mutual. So we are to pray for Jason, and Jason is to pray for us. We're to pray for them as a family, and they are to pray for us as a church family. It is two-way, because we're each engaged in his mission, in wherever it is that God has placed us. So prayer is a great thing to do. It is one strand of the partnership rope. John.
Thank you, Alan. Very helpful.
Jason, would you like to just come and share some of your prayer points? And then we'll on our tables, spend a little while praying about them.
Okay, so I've just put four points of that, just give you a little bit of background to some of these. The first one is you really to pray for the new king of Thailand. The old king was king for a number of years, the longest reigning monarch was at one point. The new king has big shoes to fill, and the reception for him from some of the Thais is a bit mixed. So do pray for him as he takes up this new role. He's obviously a Buddhist, and it would be absolutely amazing if he actually became Christian. That would just totally transform the whole country. So do pray for him. Number two, self-explanatory, is pray for Thailandists to recognise that only Jesus brings true salvation. For the opportunities for Chinese people, we talked about those a little bit. You know, now that outside of China, there's more opportunities for them to actually hear the gospel. That they would understand it and accept it for themselves. We've got lots of Chinese people who are coming to church now, but they're coming because they want to learn English. Well, that's a great opportunity. And number four, for Christians within China, as they face increased persecutions, it's getting extremely difficult. Not only for sort of more Western mission partners, but also for Chinese believers themselves. It's